Hey, Vineyard Church in North Phoenix, Jay Pathak here, National Director for Vineyard USA. And I am so excited to come and celebrate with you today. 8,000 baptisms, 8,000 baptisms in the history of your church. What an incredible thing to celebrate together. And I'm so grateful for your church. I'm so grateful for your pastors, Brian and Thora, and so many who have served over so many years. And man, baptisms are such an incredible celebration. They last an eternity. People who have entered into the death and the resurrection of Jesus, making this profession publicly in front of others. What a powerful day to be together, as some of you will experience right now or have in the life of this church. So I just want to say thank you for leading in the Vineyard all over the country, all over the world. And here's to 8,000 more. What do you say?
Amen. Amen.
Welcome, Vineyard Church, North Phoenix. Welcome online. Welcome to our celebration service of 8,000 plus baptisms. It truly is unbelievable. God, amen. God has done way more than we could ever ask or imagine. As it says in Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. And that's exactly what God has done. It's been incredible. We started this church in our home with about 10 other people. Brian and I had no idea where God would take us on this journey. And when we first started out, we'll put a few pictures up. We did baptisms in our backyard. Somebody would get saved and we'd say, come on over. We're going to have a baptism in our backyard. We can't fit everybody anymore. So anyway, to go from that to 8,000 baptisms is pretty unbelievable. In fact, let me show you a short video. Those are the names of all the people since we started keeping records that have decided to follow Jesus and be water baptized as a public demonstration through our church. And this weekend, as you know, we'll surpass 8,000 people having been water baptized at Vineyard Church, North Phoenix. That means 8,000 people's eternity has been changed. Sorry, here at VC. I didn't cry last night, okay? In fact, if you've been baptized here in any of the history of the church, would you just stand up for a minute? Amen. Amen. Now just look around, because many of you, both standing and sitting, have had a big part in this. And you might say, how? Well, by inviting your family, your friends, your neighbors to the Vineyard, by inviting your coworkers. It changed some people's lives for eternity. It made a difference in their family. You never know what God might do by your simple invitation. So step out and invite somebody to the Vineyard. Keep inviting. God bless you guys. You can be seated.
Yeah, I mean, God truly has done so far more than we could have ever asked or imagined, starting in our home with 10 other people besides Thor and I. You know, I just want to take a moment and speak directly to those of you who are part of our other campus. Some of you don't know that we have another campus called the Reveal Campus. It's out in Surprise. And I know for some of you that are part of the Reveal Campus or you're watching, it might feel a little strange for you to celebrate something that happened at a different campus. you know, especially since our merger is still relatively new. And I just want to tell you why we're celebrating this moment together, both campuses, because now we are one church family. And we believe that the fruit by one part of the family is shared by the whole. And for those of you that don't know, Reveal was actually planted out of our church about 17 years ago by Marty and Sheila Kaiser. And now, for whatever reason, through God's divine wisdom, two churches have come together to form one church in two locations. And we believe that when God brings people and stories together, that the fruit is shared by everyone. And Reveal, you know, has its own incredible legacy of life change and impact, both locally and globally. For example, in 2016, Reveal started Life Print School in New Delhi, India. And what started with just a handful of children has grown to over 100 students with a waiting list. And so now we at the Glendale campus, we share in that fruit and we help carry that mission forward. So just as VC's history becomes part of Reveal's history, Reveal's history also becomes part of VC's history. And now both campuses are stronger together, and we really are moving forward as one church, one story, one mission. So our history here at VC belongs to those of you who are part of the Reveal campus as well. You know, building off of what Thora said earlier, when we started our church, we had no idea that thousands, literally thousands of people would end up committing their lives to Jesus here at our church. No idea. We had no idea that thousands of children and youth would be taught God's word in a fun and practical way here at our church. We had no idea that hundreds of people would be set free from different addictions in their life by coming to the Vineyard. And by the way, all that stuff that we've talked about so far, none of that is what Thor and I were trying to do when we started this church. No, all we were trying to do was just be obedient to God and do what we believe God wanted us to do. You know, we felt like God wanted us to start a church that was really focused on people. You know, where people really mattered. And we also wanted to be a church where the worship music was relevant and contemporary. In fact, when we first started meeting in our home, you know, it was only 10 other people besides Thor and I, and we didn't have a worship leader. And worship is super important. So I said that to our group. I said, we have to have a worship leader if we're going to proceed forward. So do any of you play the guitar? And one guy sort of sheepishly raised his hand and said, well, I've played a few chords, but I've never played a whole song. I said, great, you're the worship leader. And so Thora started taking classes, guitar classes, at GCC to learn the guitar. And she and this guy, Rudy, they were our first worship team. I mean, it wasn't fancy, it wasn't slick, but you know what? God showed up. And we wanted to be a church where the Bible would be taught every week in very practical ways, where people could actually apply it to their life. And we wanted to be a church where people would live in community with one another through various small groups or fellowship events or ministries. And we wanted to be a church where everyone was encouraged to use their gifts and their talents and abilities in some sort of ministry, where ministry wasn't just going to be for the leaders or for the pastors. No, we wanted everyone to be involved in ministry. We have a saying around here, everyone gets to what? Gets to play. Everyone gets to play. And by the way, that includes both men and women. You know, our church was not going to be a church where the only, quote, leadership that women could be involved in was leading children or leading other women. No, it wasn't going to be that way. This was a church where both men and women were free to pursue whatever calling God had on their life. And I am so grateful that women lead in our church just as much as men do. And we wanted to be a church where God's presence was really the deepest desire of our hearts. And where we invited God's presence to come and meet with us every time we gathered together. And not only that, but where we actually expected God to show up when we gathered together. And we wanted to be a church that wasn't just about the members of the church. We didn't just want to be a bless me club. No, we wanted to be a church that was constantly reaching out to those who are far from God, the least, the last, and the lost. We wanted to be a church where the sick were healed, and the demonized were set free, and the brokenhearted were healed up, and the downtrodden were encouraged. And we wanted to be a church that effectively ministered to the poor in our community, where we would help the poor in very practical ways, with food, clothing, medicine, all kinds of stuff. And then over 25 years ago now, God made it very clear to me that He wanted our church to be a church that really celebrated diversity. Diversity of every kind, but especially racial diversity. And we've prayed so many prayers over the last 25 years for God to bring people into our church who are different from Thor and I. For God to bring African Americans and Latinos and Asians and Native Americans and Africans. And you know what? God has answered our prayers. We're not where we want to be yet, but we're getting there. And I want you to know, we so love the diversity that is in our church. And I mean all kinds of diversity. We love the racial diversity, ethnic diversity, socioeconomic, educational, generational. We celebrate it. You know why? Because that is what heaven and the new creation is going to look like. If you don't like being part of a diverse church, you know what? You're not going to like heaven very much, because heaven is going to be just like that. And so those are some of the things that Thora and I were trying to do when we started this church. And again, we had no idea where this journey was going to take us. We certainly had no idea we'd be celebrating 8,000 baptisms. I mean, what a God. God has just been so faithful to us. And then, you know, we're doing baptisms in our home and then in the church. And it was really hard. We didn't have a good way of doing that at that time. And so and about the early to mid-90s, I don't remember exactly, we started doing our water baptisms at Glendale Community College. The college would allow us to rent it out, the whole college, only two times a year, on Memorial Day and Labor Day. And so we made it a big party. We took our band out there. We had all kinds of games for the kids and all that. And we literally baptized hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people at Glendale Community College. It was so fun. Now, some people have asked me over the years, well, Brian, has this journey with the church always been easy? And I looked at them like they're a cyclops or something. No, it has not always been easy. It's been a lot of difficulty over the years, a lot of heartache. That just goes with being in ministry. Other people have asked me, well, Brian, has this journey with the church always been fun? No, it hasn't always been fun. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen along the way that aren't fun. You know, people in our church getting some sort of disease that is incurable. That's not fun. People in our church getting divorced. That's not fun. People, you know, dying. People leaving our church for various reasons. I mean, there is a lot of pain, a lot of heartache along the way. But there's also so much joy that has come along the way. And that is what we've tried to focus on. I mean, to look into someone's face who's recently been very far from God, and to see their face as they begin to walk with Jesus for the very first time, man, it doesn't get better than that. Or to see sort of a nominal Christian get off of the sidelines and actually get into the game and see them begin to use their gifts and talents in effective, joyful service to Jesus. It doesn't get better than that. Or to see the local church you're a part of actually feed the hungry and clothe the naked and help the homeless and love the unlovely and minister to the lonely and heal up the brokenhearted. I mean, to see the local church you're a part of actually being the body of Christ to the world around them. doesn't get better than that. And the truth is, seeing God change people's lives, it's amazing. I mean, it never gets old. Every one of the 8,000 plus baptisms represent much more than just a moment in the water. Each one of them represents a transformed life. And often we don't see the full picture of what God is going to do in that story until much later. I'm going to show you a picture of two kids. That is David Quaid and Nikki Carpenter, now Nikki Quaid. And for those of you that don't know, David is now our campus pastor at the Reveal campus, and both of their spiritual journeys started here at this church. They were baptized at GCC, and now they're leading the Reveal campus that's changing lives and adding to the transformation stories that we've seen happen thousands of times. You never know where a person's journey is going to lead them.
Be the next person God changes because they came to the Vineyard. Will that next person be one of your neighbors, your friends, your family member, your mom, your son, your daughter? Will the next person whose life has changed here at the Vineyard be you? You know, the journey hasn't always been easy. It hasn't always been fun, but this journey has always been led by God. God has led this church every step of the way because only God could do this.
Amen.
Let me just give you a few examples of how God has supernaturally led and provided for us on this journey. And as we said, the church began in our home with only a few people. It was about 12 people, us and about five other couples and a few kids. It was not sophisticated. We didn't even think to take pictures back then. That's like all we have.
That's our house and our backyard right there.
It wasn't sophisticated. It wasn't fancy, but we were studying the Bible together. We were ministering to one another. And after a few months of meeting in our home, we moved into the Apollo High School cafeteria at 47th Avenue in Northern. And it was really hard most of the time. You're moving stuff in. You're hauling stuff out. And we only had a few people. So if a family with kids took a vacation, attendance went down by 20%. And we had so few people. I mean, Brian preached a lot of sermons to seven or eight people. And sometimes
that
the worship
is no
team.
The seven or eight people.
The worship team would have almost as many people as a congregation. And since we were meeting in a school, the school district has to assign a maintenance person to you to lock and unlock the buildings while you're meeting there. So the maintenance person that they assigned to us was a guy named Randy, and Brian and I, to each other, nicknamed him Handy Randy because he would often either show up late or not show up. And this is before cell phones, okay? So we had to drive to Circle K or somewhere and use a payphone and call him. Invariably, he had overslept. Handy Randy. Okay, so here's the deal. God used Handy Randy to impress upon us, we need to start looking for a building we can meet in full time and not deal with this. But the building needed to be inexpensive because we didn't have much money. And Brian finally found a building in a strip mall at 51st Avenue, just north of Thunderbird. In order to lease the building, Brian and I had to sign our assets on the dotted line for 3 years, that if the church defaulted on any payment, we would personally pay for it. It was a little scary. Neither one of us told our parents. We were like in our 20s, I think. But we were all in for the church.
So when we moved into that building, you know, it was just a shell. It never had a tenant in it before, and we rented 2,250 square feet. And so we had to build it out. And Thor and I were both teaching high school full-time, trying to lead the church full-time. And so a few of the guys in our church got together, and we built it out over a period of time. I'm mechanically challenged, and so I remember carrying a lot of drywall for that project. I couldn't do anything else. But it was a super simple build-out. We had three little children's ministry built rooms in it, I mean, a little bathroom, a little office, and a room for adult worship. And when we moved in there, it was March 28th, 1987. I kept all the track of this. We had 28 adults in our first service, and it was great. I mean, I remember thinking, if we could ever get up to 100 adults, I could die and go to heaven. I mean, I would be the most blessed pastor in the history of the world. Well, that building ended up being a great building for us. We were in there about 6 or 7 more years, and we really took over the whole area. We kept adding more and more room. Eventually, we moved the auditorium across the parking lot. I don't know if you remember when you saw the picture. There were two sides. There was a, you know, it was a little place to park, and then on both sides they had a strip mall. And so we moved the auditorium over there, and then the auditorium became way too full, and we were doing all of these services, and we still needed more room. And the only thing we can do is there was one tenant left that we shared the back of our auditorium wall with. It happened to be a karate studio. And I remember coming in on a Sunday morning, and I said to our church, we need to pray that God will move the karate people out so that we can blow out that back wall and expand the size of our church. And this is a true story. We had a service that night. We came back that night, and they were moving out the same night. I mean, it was incredible. Well, we ended up adding all kinds of services to facilitate all the people who were coming. The space was still too cramped. And so we began praying about and thinking about, we needed to get a bigger building for us to rent. So in prayer, I felt very clearly that God told me that he wanted our next building to be at 43rd Avenue and Olive. 43rd Avenue and Dunlap, which used to be Olive Square. And it's a whole God story of how we eventually got into that building. I don't have time to explain it. But when we finally moved in there, January 24th, 1993, we thought we had died and gone to heaven. I mean, it was so big. It was so big, we thought we would never fill it up. We'd been having 4 or 5 weekend services, and now we're able to cut back to 2. And again, we thought we would never fill it up. But in about 3 or 4 years, we were back to 5 weekend services every weekend. And it was super exciting, seeing lots of people give their lives to Jesus, lots of people get water baptized, lots of people's lives being radically changed by the Lord. But you know, when a church grows like we did, you have to change some things. You know, we went from a small church to a medium-sized church to a large church. And because of that, we had to begin doing things very differently from the way that we used to do them. Listen to this. If we were going to continue to reach more people for Jesus. And that was always the priority. Reaching more people for Jesus. That was our priority. And so we had to change the way that we do some things. And because of those changes, some people ended up leaving the Vineyard. And some of them were very close friends of ours. It was heartbreaking for us. In fact, I can remember multiple times over those years going to God in prayer and saying, God, are we really doing what you want us to be doing? Because many times it felt very hard personally. But God told us over and over, this church wasn't about us. It was about obeying him and doing what he wanted us to do.
Reminded us over and over that Vineyard Church of North Phoenix was his church and not our church. So as Brian said, we just kept doing, you know, right foot, left foot, what you believe God is calling you to do, and experiencing growth and people's lives being changed. And then by this time, we're having 6 weekend services, 2 Saturday night, 3 Sunday morning, 1 Sunday night. And because we seem to constantly need more space and we're continually building out rooms, we're paying more and more money in rent. So by this time, this is in the 90s, we're paying about $20,000 a month in rent because we kept growing. So we start looking around for land to build a permanent building because we felt like we would be better stewards of God's money than just throwing that money down the drain every month. So we began looking all over the Northwest Valley, but we didn't want to go too far from the area we were in, 43rd Avenue, Olive, Thunderbird, because we felt like that's kind of where God had had us. So one day, one of our pastors is driving by this property where you're sitting right now, and there was a for sale sign. That's Brian in an old video.
this was a cornfield. This is 35 acres of corn.
It had been a cornfield for years and years. It was in the same family since 1912, the Brooks family. And the owner actually put a sign in the yard. And we found out that it had been owned by them. And John Brooks at the time was 85, and he decided it was time for the family to sell this plot of land. And the land cost about $2 million. It was 35 acres. We asked. They would not subdivide. It was you either buy it all or nothing. So it's a long story, but the Brooks family told us they were going to make a decision in the coming week who they would sell this to. And a bunch of home builders had found out in the meantime, and they were also bidding on getting the land. So Brian asked our church if they would fast and pray during that week. And the Brooks family came back and said to us, "We're going to sell it to you guys because we trust you." And pretty impressive. It really was a total miracle because we didn't have money like home builders. And by the way, we found out later that about 10 years prior to this, the Brooks family had offered the city of Glendale to give them the land if they would use it for a park, a school, or a library. The city of Glendale said, no, no, if you give it to us, it has to be no strings attached. So the Brooks family didn't give the city of Glendale the land. And we feel like God was protecting the land for us. You know, the Brooks family wanted something good to take place on this land, and we feel like God is doing a lot of good things on this land for his kingdom.
Amen. So the good news was that they're going to sell it to us. The bad news was we had to come up with $2 million. And so that's when we did our first building campaign back in 1997. It was called Building Our Future. And there may be a few of you sitting here today that actually gave financially to that. That was a long time ago, so I don't believe there are probably many of you. But if you're here and you gave to the first campaign back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I'd like you to stand for a moment and remain standing. Is there anybody here that gave to the... God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just remain standing. I want you guys who are standing to know that all the people that God has used our church to reach over the years on this property, they're part of your legacy. They're part of what you've...
Amen.
Part of what you've given your life for. Every dollar you gave in order for us to be able to get on this property, it was an investment in people's lives. And you were storing up treasures in heaven. And I just want to say to you, thank you. Thank you. May God bless you and reward you. You may be seated. Well, through that campaign, we ended up paying off the $2 million in about 3 years. And so now we had to build buildings. So we had to get a loan for the buildings, and we believed it was going to be about $5 million. So we got a $5 million loan, and we began building what's now the high school auditorium. That was our main auditorium at first, our multi-purpose auditorium, and our admin building. It was about 50,000 square feet. And we finally moved in on this campus January of 2002. And when we moved in this property, man, I cannot tell you how many incredible things God did. We started off, you know, we were doing 6 weekend services. We were able to cut back to 3, which was so great. Because when you're doing 6 services, every weekend's like a conference. I mean, it's exhausting, not just for, you know, the preacher, but the band, all the volunteers. I mean, there's a lot. And so it was great. We were able to cut back to 3 services. However, very quickly, because God kept adding more and more people, we were back up to 6 weekend services. And so we knew that if we were going to keep reaching more people for Jesus. And remember, that was always the priority, that we're going to have to build more buildings. And so we supernaturally paid off the $5 million loan, and we were debt-free for literally like 1 week. And that's when we started our second building campaign. It was called He Is Able, because we felt like God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we could ask or think. And I believe there are many of you here who gave sacrificially to the He Is Able campaign in order to build our new buildings. And so if you gave financially to his Abel. I want you to stand up for a moment and remain standing as well. Would you please stand if you gave to the He Is Able campaign? And those of you who are standing, I know this will feel weird, but I want you to look around the room at all the people who aren't standing and the thousands of others that they represent who are not in this room right now. And I want to remind you that it's because of you that they're here. They're part of your legacy. They're part of what you've given your life for. Every dollar you've given was an investment in people's lives, and I just can't thank you enough. God bless you. May God reward you for all your generosity and sacrifice. You may be seated. And of course, through the He Is Able campaign, we built this building. We also built a children's ministry wing, and we also added a compassion building. It was about an extra 100,000 square feet. And God told me in prayer, told us in prayer, that He wanted us to prioritize building the compassion building first. He didn't want us to build this auditorium. He didn't want us to add the children's wing. He wanted us to build a building for the poor first. In fact, God told me, if you take care of the poor, I'll take care of you. And by God's grace, we've tried to take care of the poor, and God has certainly taken care of us. Now, to build these buildings, it was going to be an astronomical amount of money. $20 million. That's how much it was going to cost. And our mortgage payment was going to be $85,000 a month for 30 years. Now, wrap your brain around that. And so we started paying. We weren't even in the building. We started paying the monthly mortgage, and we were still building and so forth. And then the recession hit in 2008. And we haven't even moved in yet. And because of the recession, there's no way that we could pay all of our bills and pay the $85,000 a month. And so we had to let some of our pastors go, let some of our staff go. It was a very dark time. We had to cut everything back to bare bones. And many times over those months, I remember going to God in prayer and asking Him if He wanted us to even complete these buildings. I felt like maybe if we didn't complete them, we wouldn't owe quite as much. But God told me very clearly in prayer that we were to complete these buildings and we were not to let anything deter us from doing that. And so that's what we did. And we moved into this worship auditorium about 15 years ago now, March 2010. But again, you know, you get in this building and you haven't been in a big building like this. We have eye magnification. There was a lot of changes. And I remember a lot of people coming up to me when we moved in saying, Brian, things aren't the same. They didn't like it. And I said, yeah, things aren't the same. They're way better now. But they didn't agree, some of them. And some of the people we really loved ended up, you know, leaving the church because of being in this building. But you know what? We ended up reaching so many more people for Jesus than we ever would have reached if we stayed in what's now the youth auditorium. We were just maxed out doing six services a weekend. But you know, Thor and I thought we would probably never pay off the $20 million mortgage on these buildings. And so every month, that was a pressure that we felt since 2007. Every month, year after year after year, knowing that we would probably die and go to our grave, never paying off these buildings. But over the next 10 years, God did so many incredible miracles. And now, as I've written there, we have been debt-free since January of 2022. And that means we've been able to pay off almost $30 million in land and building. Do you think God is able? God is able. And if you're a financial giver to our church now, or again, if you gave to the He Is Able campaign, I want you to stand for a moment and remain standing. So everybody who's giving right now on a regular basis, or you gave back then, would you stand and remain standing? Because I want to say to you, one of the reasons that we were able to pay off this mortgage and be debt-free is because of you. And more importantly, One of the reasons we've been able to reach so many people for Jesus since we moved into this auditorium and see so many people water baptized is because of you. Because of your prayers, your giving, your sacrifices, your service, your ministry. In fact, do you know how many people have given their life to Jesus at our church since we moved into this building 15 years ago? 6,714. Just in the last 15 years. And do you know how many people have been baptized in this building in the last 15 years? 4,685. I want to remind you, your life is making a difference, and together we are impacting eternity and we are emptying hell. That's what we are doing. And we're going to continue to do it. Like Jay said on the video, here's to 8,000 baptisms and here's to 8,000 more. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, just a couple of years now, in January of 2023, God wrote another powerful chapter in our story when we welcomed Reveal to be part of the Vineyard Church North Phoenix family. And what was two churches ended up becoming one, united by a shared vision of seeing lives changed by the power and grace of God. And we're seeing fruit of that every week at both campuses. We truly are one church in two campuses with one mission. Now, I don't want you to miss this part. I want you to know that I believe with all of my heart that our best days are ahead of us. Because I know some of you are thinking, man, that history is amazing. I sure wish I was here from the beginning or something. I get that. But I believe our best days are ahead as long as we continue to be a worshiping church and a loving church and a church where people really matter and a church that reaches out to the poor and to the hurting and to the hungry and a church that continues to embrace diversity among us and celebrate it. And as long as we're a church who continues with all of our heart to want to be led by God, as long as all of that continues, I know God is going to continue to lead us and our best days are ahead. And as He leads us, together, we're doing this together. Together, we're going to make a huge difference in our generation and beyond for Jesus Christ. And when our lives are over, we're going to be able to look back and say, man, our lives mattered. Our lives made a difference. You want to be able to say your life made a difference? I want to be able to say that. Let's lock arms together and let's do this for another 8,000 baptisms. Amen. We're going to end our service by celebrating all that God has done in the past and all that we believe God is going to do in the future. We're going to sing a celebration song. Everybody, please stand. I want you to sing this out with full voice, and at the end of the song, I'll come back and close the service.
Wish I could tell you, wish I could describe it, but I can't contain it, can't keep it to myself. There aren't enough colors to paint the whole picture, not enough words to ever say what I found. Wonderful and beautiful and glorious and holy, He is merciful and powerful. The glory, give Him all the honor, altogether worthy. Who we talking about? That's my case. There's no one before you. Yes, we will adore you. All of this is for you. Who we talking about? hearing the rocks cry, but I'm joining the chorus. They're running out notes to make the harmony. It's the song of the angels, the run of the ages. It's all of the earth and heaven's symphony. Wonderful and beautiful and glorious and holy. He is merciful and powerful. Who we talking about? That's my case. We declare the glory. Give them all the honor. All together worthy. Who we talking about? That's my case. There's no one before you. Yes, we will adore you. All of this is for you. Who we talking about? That's my king. Yeah. That's my king. That's my God. That's my shepherd, my protector. That's my king. That's my rock. That's my anchor, my defender. That's my king.
Is that your king? That's my king. I hope he's your king as well. Let's give it up for the band and the choir for all the what they put in this weekend. We are so blessed with the musicians and all of that God has brought here. So, you know, we have a special thing going on afterwards, so make sure you linger. Take some pictures out in the lobby. We have some photo opportunities out there. Post them online. Let people know this is your church, man. This is your church. 8,000 water baptisms, something to be very thankful for. In 2 weeks, just want to let you know this, we're starting a brand new series out of the book of Revelation. We're going to study the whole book of Revelation. So it's going to be a series you're not going to want to miss. I think all of us are going to learn a lot, all right? Let me pray a blessing over us and we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you for your presence with us. In this service, I pray you'd be with us in the next. And thank you for all my friends, God, as they go their separate ways right now. I ask as their pastor that you would bless them, you would keep them, you'd cause your face to shine upon them, you'd be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace now as they go. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Say hi to some people on your way out. God bless you. We'll see you soon.